Welcome back to Bugs in the Morning. We have our Mid-Plains guys, President Ryan Purdy, and Information Officer Daniel Stinman join us after a nice break. Did you get some vacation time in and some travel and friends and family? Good time for you here the past month?
Yeah, got a little bit of all of that in. So a couple trips and took the family and went down to Mexico for a few days, and that was kind of fun and relaxing. And a couple other just a small trips here and there for conferences and some work stuff, but it was a nice little break.
What about you, Daniel? Did you get some time away?
So my wife and I just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary last week, last Friday. So
congrats.
They went to the grandparents for a few days, and then we headed off to Colorado Springs. So yeah, we got a couple of days in there just to kind of rest and be together and. Yeah, it was a good time.
Good to hear. That's always you need that after that going through the grind there for several months, and held a kind of had a light agenda to deal with, and that's kind of nice too when you get back from vacation, not to be immediately inundated, and look like you just worked through some things in a very timely fashion and wrapped things up in less than an hour last night.
Yeah, it was kind of nice to have a short one. When back in May, we had a lot of stuff that was prepping for summer, and so we had quite a lengthy board meeting back in May before the break kicked off. So yeah, a little light meeting, just continue to work towards the beginning of the semester. You know, classes will start. I think they're back 3 weeks from this coming Monday, so it's going to go fast.
Yeah, it always does, right? I always say kind of 4th of July is kind of your, for some people it's a midpoint, but for people and educators, it's kind of like you better get the stuff done you wanted to get done because summer's almost over when you get to the 4th, for sure. Yep. So you met on the East Campus of McCook Community College last evening and started off by having some people speak to you. Norma Stevens spoke to the board regarding the future of the music and theater departments at the college there in McCook.
Yep, and so Don and Norma both, the two spoke from the public, really just talked about the college and music and theater, and McCook has a history of having some strong programs there, and they've, students have changed and things have changed in the last few years, and we know that Kearney has contracted a lot of their fine arts, and not that we're doing it intentionally, it's just that with some of the transition we've had in faculty, we've struggled to build enrollments, and so we're trying to figure out how to partner with with the public schools, with the community playhouse, and figure out how we can right size those programs but still have those offerings. And so we're appreciative. They're both lifelong supporters of the college, and we appreciate them coming and just expressing their concerns. And we told them last night that we would love to have a conversation and see how we can work together to bring some of those things back. And so. It's just a different time than it was, 15 to actually even probably 25 to 35 years ago. And so we just got to figure out how to right size it.
Yep. Kelly Rippon announced that the college there in McCook is hosting the American Watercolor Society. I read that Water Cooler Society at first, and I was like, I don't think they have a Water Cooler Society, but it was a Watercolor Society. They have an international exhibit coming up September 8th through October 27th.
Yeah, so Rick Johnson is our art instructor, McCook, has been with us for about 20 years. He is part of the American Watercolor Society, but he also is able to secure that show to come to McCook every few years. And so we're back on the schedule for 2025. And so, yeah, in about 60 days or less, we're going to have that thing open for about 6 weeks. And so it's a fantastic show. I encourage anybody that appreciates art, that type of work, to get down to the McCook, the Wrightstone, and take a peek at it. So free of charge, it's just an open exhibit to come in and see some of the work that's done around the country.
And then the board was introduced to your new campus administrators in Imperial and Ogallala.
Yeah, so Brenda Liddell, our original Imperial campus coordinator, had retired, and so we hired Brandy Dannett to take that role in Imperial. She's also an alum and been in Imperial for a little bit of time. Jenny Soper then from Ogallala, she's taken Mary Pierce's job. And so Gail Knott, who was the original Ogallala, who is now the Dean of Outreach, is Jenny's supervisor and still on campus. We appreciate having Gail around too. But yep, both of them are excited to have a little career change and have both hit the ground running. So we're excited to have them serving the western side of our service area.
Another introduction, the new Director of Business and Community Education, Marlene Goodenberger, was introduced.
Yes, yeah, so Marlene's been with us for 7 years, and she's been was the administrative assistant for that department. And when Tim Zender moved on to back home to the Minnesota area, Marlene applied for it and was accepted and hired for that role. So it's just an expanded role from what she was kind of doing, but it's kind of nice to have someone that kind of knows the ropes and can really get moving. So we're excited to have Marlene.
Then board member Tyler Pribino spoke up and expressed thanks on behalf of the Nebraska Community Foundation Board for hosting their board meeting last night on the East Campus there in McCook.
Yeah, so he's on that Nebraska Community Foundation board, and we were able to host their meeting here not too long ago down there at the East Campus facility. Mm-hmm. And so those people who haven't been in the Old Elks Club, now the what we're calling East Campus, I think they're kind of surprised on what we were able to do with that building. And so that was just part of that, an extension of that, that appreciation for what we've done and just kind of that wow factor still.
So under consent items, you had your financial report for May and the preliminary financial report for June. How are we looking financially for the college?
So I think looking at net bottom line, I think we're about 2% higher than we anticipated. So that's good. So we're farther in the black than we would be. This was the last year that we're going to have the property tax, kind of the residual back half, since they're paid in arrears. And so our taxes are paid for calendar year. We're on a 6/30 fiscal year, and so we do get some residual funding that comes through that we didn't budget for or didn't levy. So now that's gone. So now it will be really the new funding formula will be in full stride here starting July 1st. But nope, it's better to be in the black further than we anticipated by about 2%. So we feel pretty good.
And in regards to transitioning to the new formula, you feel like you got a grip on how that's going to play out into the college's finances?
Yeah, the Community College Future Fund is pretty easy because each college stands on their own with how the formula works. It's the state aid side that's concerning a little bit because the state doesn't have to increase it, but we could go back to the taxpayers if they go backwards and levy the general fund. We don't want to do that, obviously, and the legislature doesn't want us to do that, but that one is dependent on all six community colleges. So if the more urban colleges, the southeast and the metros, experience a larger growth than the rurals, they will absorb more of the state aid and we will actually lose a little bit. So that side of the house, we're going to try to work with the legislature and see if we can't get that one tweaked to more run in line with the Community College Future Fund, where we're not at the mercy of some of the bigger schools that have more a potential for growth. So we'll see what we can do there.
Under actions required by law, you approve the first reading of amendments to policies 4101 and 4352.
Yep, so these are just really cleanup bills. The 4101 is just where we define all of our employees, and so we have the federal definition of if you work 30 hours or more, you're full-time, and if you work less than 40 or 30, you're considered part-time, and so we put that into policy with the 4101, changed kind of the order of, you know, here's the executive administration, here's professional, here's faculty, here is classified staff, and then changed some terminology. We used to have a tenured, but we don't have an academic procedure for tenure. It's more probationary, non-probationary in Nebraska. So we made those tweaks to match state law. And then 4352, the other one, was just to clean up an old policy. When we had a classified staff union about 10 years ago, they had their own personnel policies, and then administration and professionals had their own. They're the same, and so we combined them. And so instead of referencing administrators and administrators' spouses, administrators' children, we just said it's employees, employees' spouses, employees' children. So it was just a cleanup. So nothing of substance, just something we had to have in front of the board.
And then the cabinet reports to wind up things. Anything out of that you'd like to mention?
No, we're just trying to still unravel the big, beautiful bill from the feds. And so they did do some short-term workforce Pell appropriations. So we appreciate that. It's going to be, you know, those courses that are at least 8 weeks long that wouldn't have qualified previously. There's a few different requirements on there, but it should allow for some more people to come in and come in on a part-time, short-term basis and be able to secure some Pell grants. Obviously, the federal loans, there'll be some impact. I don't know the exact extent yet, especially community colleges. You don't see people hitting the limits, but there are some questions on some of the programs. If they're not reaching a federal limit as far as wages compared to those that only have a high school, they may become ineligible for student loans. And so we're trying to evaluate what those programs might be and how we can maybe change them up to even warrant a higher wage than what they're getting now. So those are two kind of non-related to the bill is the frozen fund. So adult education funding that we get from the federal government, the U.S. Department of Education, that's in a freeze pattern right now as they're reviewing it. But that's about $160,000. So that's a lot of our English language learners types of things. Some of our disability services are tied into that as well. So we're just kind of hoping that will come through. We have concerns that if we do get funding this year, we may not get funding next year. So we just want a little heads up so we can make adjustments as we need to do our budget to make sure we can continue to provide those services when they're needed the most.
All right. You adjourned to 7:22 and now looking towards the next board meeting in North Platte on August 20th at 6:30. Is that going to be at the W.W. Wood Building?
It sure will. North Campus, okay. Room 200, 202. So we kind of expanded that area to make it a little more flexible, a little more roomy for the public when they want to come to the meetings, and also then use it for more of a classroom flex space when the board is not in session. So we've taken care of that room pretty good. But raffle cars out and about running around, and so we got that piece. And public, that people looking for houses, we're going to have one on Iron Eagle Estates that we're going to be finishing this fall. And then we have the one that will be on campus. They'll be ready to move, and that auction will probably happen here soon, too. So there's a couple opportunities for the public to secure houses built by the college's building construction and trades divisions.
Good to hear. Daniel, wrap us up.
Mid Plains Community College is offering free tuition for dual credit and early entry classes beginning this fall. Get ahead, save money, and transform your future while in high school. Talk to your high school guidance counselor or give us a call at 308-535-3607. And as Ryan mentioned, the 2025 raffle car has hit the streets and will be coming to a town near you. The 1972 GMC C10 will be in Kearney and David City this weekend. For a full list of where the car is going to be, check out our website at mpcc.edu.
And something new with the raffle car is go to our website. If you can't make it to a show or can't get to campus, you can buy a limited amount of raffle tickets online. So it's kind of been a new thing that we were able to do. So the state made some changes to regulations where we could do it. But you have to use a debit card. You can't use a credit card.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks so much for calling in. And you have a great day, great month, and we'll visit with you in August.
Sounds good, Corey.